Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, real quick, love. Did you take over host? Because it's not letting me put YouTube up. Well, I know you didn't do it on purpose. I'm just saying I need the ability to put YouTube up. Yes. Well, make me either co-host or host, whichever position will allow me to start YouTube. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us. As we Right. And in that case, here comes YouTube as well. Beautiful, beautiful day.
Across planet Earth, an Earth warrior, a kingdom conqueror, in your name, by your word, filled with your spirit. Thank you for blessing us in our lives and blessing us this morning.
Do we have no and then I realized we didn't have sound again. Is that what you had said? There was no sound?
No.
Oh, you did have sound?
No, we didn't hear
anything. Okay. So trying again. Here we go.
We love you this morning, Lord Jesus. We honor you this morning. It is so good to be Christians, to be filled with your spirit, led by your spirit. What a privilege to walk across planet Earth, an Earth warrior, a kingdom conqueror, in your name, by your word, filled with your spirit. Thank you for blessing us in our lives and blessing us this morning. Thank you. We love you this morning. We honor you in this sanctuary. Our expectation
is that we'll be changed today. We'll be made better because of you. Your word, Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. God bless you. Man, it's good to see you this morning. This is the day. That's right. This is the day the Lord has made, and we've already chosen to rejoice and be glad. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People keep asking me this question or something similar to it. What's one of the secrets that you've been able to serve God this long? We serve in Him this many years later, decades, and fulfill your ministry in the earth. Of course, there's a list, right? And but one of the things top on my list that I've lived by is saying, Mark Barkley, you better deal with yourself. Everybody say, deal with yourself.
Deal with yourself.
Better deal with yourself. Because there's certain things about you that you don't want someone else to have to deal with you. I'd rather judge myself. I mean, if I got to give myself a whipping, I'd rather do that than have someone else do it. Right? That's right. So we got to deal with ourselves. You got to deal with your flesh. As long as you're on this planet, you'll have to deal with your flesh. It's not going away. We are partakers of His divine nature. But the old nature wants you back. Yeah. And I'm not going back. I didn't even like that guy. Seriously, I didn't. That Mark Barkley before Christ, I didn't like that guy at all. He was a nutcase, man. He didn't even want to live with himself. That's how bad he was. And that flesh will chase you and try to mess you up all the days of your life. It really will.
Yeah.
And if he can't mess with your body, he'll mess with your soul. Get you into bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, nasty. If you don't change your heart, you can't change your mouth, then you'll be a gossiper. The Bible says no man can tame this tongue. You tame your heart out of the abundance of the mouth. You can't. God said you can't tame your tongue. You gotta change your heart. Be an instant forgiver.
Wow.
There's no human being worth holding a grudge, getting even. So that's going to hurt your walk with God.
That's right.
Half time, they don't even know. I've had people come up to me and say, I just want you to know I hated you, but I don't anymore. Oh. Well, I was mad at you, but I'm not anymore. Okay, well, I didn't know. It didn't affect me any. Come on. Yeah, that one too, Josh. Yeah. I just want you to know I forgive you. Good. I don't know what for. Don't tell me either. I don't care. Just thank God you're walking in forgiveness. You got to deal with yourself, because if you don't, people will adjust you. The devil knows what button to push, because he's tracked humans for all of his time on the earth. And if Satan can figure out what button to push to get you off course, to get you pouting, sad, bad, mad, angry, gossiping, slandering, resentful, lazy, sloth. Look at my finger. If he can figure out, punch, you get ready, because you're going to live like this. You are. Now, you can back that off, but you got to deal with yourself. Lester Summerall, one of my dads, he would say, the biggest warfare, Mark, is not against Satan. You're your biggest problem. You're your biggest enemy. But the way you feel. Someone said, you know, Doc, do you know what they're saying about you? No. I don't read it.
Yeah, why?
Why would I give that loony bin any attention to read anything they wrote? No, I don't read it. Sorry. Well, you don't want to know what they said? No. Don't care. Who are they? I don't care if there's 5,000 days. Who are they? I don't submit to them. I probably don't know them. I'm not being arrogant. I just don't care what. It's not my fault you have diarrhea of the mouth and can't control yourself. That's not. I don't live by their words. I live by my words. It's none of my business what they say about me. I better not make it my business what they say about me. It's my business what I say about them, and especially after I found out what they said about me.
Yeah.
Those are the words I live by. Those are the words I have to give to count. I heard the other day, Doc, someone's not thinking very highly of you. I don't care. There ain't a human on this planet that I care about what they think about me more than God.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's some people I care about. I cared about my fathers in the faith. I care about my wife, Vicky, what she has to say about me. I'm not that guy, but I'm just saying, other than that, think what you want. I'm way past. Some all used to say, my happiness is not in another man's head. What a statement. And that's a whole lot harder to live by than it is to preach. A lot of stuff is easy preaching. You can even get clapped. You can get applauded. Then when you go live it, that's a whole new territory. Because the old nature still has feelings. And so one of my great, I don't think it's a real secret, but to say one of my secrets, I deal with myself. I do. I'm hard on me. I'm going to fix my thoughts. I'm going to fix my feelings. I'm going to fix my body. I'm going to fix. I'm going to make sure my thoughts are right with God. My mouth is right with God. My money's right with God. That I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to keep that right with God. And that's what I do. And I think you do that. But that's what I do. And I think if you deal with yourself, you got to keep yourself in line. In line with the word of God. No one's going to do that for you. That's job, your elder's job, your spouse's job. And you kids, when you're about 16, it's no longer your parents' job. You got to keep yourself in line. You got to keep your hand off the touch not. Come out from among them. Touch not. New Testament. Come out from among them. Right? Be separated unto God and touch not the unclean thing.
Amen.
Now, the Bible's clear about unclean things and what they are. But what you might be able to permit in your life without offense to God, because we offer our bodies, Romans 12, 1 and 2, we offer our bodies a living sacrifice to God. That which is pleasing and acceptable to him, whether it is you or me or not. So, you know, something that might be acceptable to you might not be to me. I don't judge you for that because I don't do it. Don't you judge me because I do. Now, sin is sin. I'm just exhorting for a minute. Sin is sin. The Bible's clear about certain things that no matter who and what you are, no matter what your culture is, no matter what your background is, there's certain things in the Bible that we're not to touch, say, think, run around with, be with, and hang out with, no matter who you are. But there's other things. Paul said there's things in my life that are permissible in my life under God, but they're not profitable. Okay, wait a minute. If they're not profitable, why would I want them? You do get to that place. You know, it's weird. I was thinking, I don't know why I was thinking about this. I think maybe because what we were talking about last night. I remember my very first cigarette. Yeah, I smoked about 2.5 packs a day by the time we got done with it. Yeah, I remember my first cigarette. I gagged. I was just a kid. I gagged, coughed, half puked, turned green. And my stupid brain said, go ahead and finish that. In fact, go get a pack. You're going to want some more. And I was dumb enough to go do it. Any former smokers in here besides me? And even Wacky Tobacky?
Come on.
Yeah, I remember my brain said, you're killing us. My brain said, you're killing. I coughed and hacked. Oh, my Lord. I remember that. I was a kid. And I remember my last cigarette.
All right.
Man, I threw it down, stomped on it, did the put out the cigarette shuffle, you know. My last cigarette. You know what my brain said? You're killing us here. We're going to have a nicotine fit. That's the same thing my dumb brain said on my first cigarette. I said, well, one thing about you, brain, you have great memory. Go by your flesh. Deal with your flesh. Deal with your lust. Quit acting like you don't have any. Deal with your appetites. Deal with your lifestyles. Deal with what you're smoking, drinking, talking, who you're running. And if you will, I promise you. It, now, you don't just do it to be disciplined. You do it unto God. You do it unto God. Right? Amen. Now, I'm going to quit with this. But you got to watch out for feeders. There are feeders in this kingdom. Like a Rocky. When you go down to preach for him, they have this big feast. It's good. Most of it's good for you. And then like the Bulger clan, out comes the killer stuff. One spoonful, 4,610 calories. Yeah, 1,210 carbohydrates. You can act innocent if you can. You too. What are you smirking about? You what? Did you bring tortillas for tonight? I mean, like real? Not American wannabes, real? Real Mexican tortillas? You are bad. And I love you for it. No, the average guy, it don't matter. He's got to deal with it, or her. Deal with yourself. If you can eat all that, that's your business. I won't. I can't. I'm not going to do it. You can put it in front of me if you want, and I'll smile and say thank you. And sometimes I want a bite. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I got an appetite. I got a desire. If my mama was addicted to sugar and caffeine till she died. In fact, before my mom died at 90, I said, Mom, there's something wrong here that your mother should not be your worst influence in your life. But she was. You can touch that. That's not my business. And you could probably do that and have no issues with it. I can't. You might as well nickname me Balloon instead of Barclay if I start eating all that stuff again. That's your business. Or it might not be that. It might be what you're looking at. Maybe you got to feed off from what other people say about you. That you don't have any self-esteem. So you need people to always pat you on the back. But I learned this just from watching. I used to play football. But I learned this just from watching football. You don't get a pat on your butt when you fumble. You only get your little fanny padded when you run a touchdown or catch a great thing. Right? You don't even get a smack on the helmet if you do something bad. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. I think some of you are back on dessert right now. You're just thinking, why'd you have to bring that up? Everybody say it. I'm going to deal with myself. And I'm going to be the best I've ever been. Self-discipline is one of the greatest keys to master life. You're on the planet. You're either going to master life or it's going to master you. It's going to be your slave or you're going to be its slave. And it's all based on personal discipline of what's hurting your life. What's hurting your life might not be hurting mine. Now, again, sin is sin. The Bible's the Bible. Unclean is unclean according to God. But in the area of permissibility, those are the areas that we can get in trouble. And you don't want that. I love Dr. Roy Hicks' illustration. He used to say, if you were to go to the moon and work there, you'd have to have a certain suit. And if you tear your suit, you're done. You don't get to stay. Well, you're going to stay, but, you know, you don't get to live there. And then he'd say, the same is true with your earth suit. You tear this earth suit, you run it out early, you can't stay here. You're going to have to leave the planet even early, not fulfill all of your call perhaps. And so self-discipline, even to get to church. Church is a decision. Church attendance is a decision. Prayer attendance is a decision. Bible reading is a decision, right? I don't care who you are. Your flesh isn't just going to automatically say, we love going to church for 3 hours. You barely get a pee-pee break. You need water all the time. The preacher's going to yell at you. Your flesh is going to wiggle. I can't wait to go. Well, you're lying if you say different than that. You just have to put your flesh under it. Deal with yourself. You say, I got to do this because this is real life. Your body wants to be fed, watered, made naked, lay on the couch, and go lay on the beach and have no hassle, no pressure, no trouble, no warfare, no job. May my kids raise themselves. That's your flesh. And that's not how life goes if you want to win. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I've asked John George to come and bring us some word this morning. And John, I've known him for decades. He's pastored. He travels. He's done about, actually, this is one of those guys. This is my best picture. He's like an old master sergeant in the Marines. He's done everything. He can do everything, including reading, doing the whole. He could be the colonel if you call upon him to do it. And that's a John George. And I asked him last night. I said, I really felt like God gave you something for us before you leave here. And so come on, John, and do your thing, and then we'll see where God takes us. I love you. Bless you. Praise God.
Good morning. Honored to be here. Better give you back these, even though I know you're working to get rid of them. Good morning. Honored to be with you. Honored to be here with Pastor Stephen and Zane. We go back with them as well. Doc and I first connected back in the 80s. We were part of the same ministerial organization before he created his. And then we have done a lot of meetings together around the nation and Canada and other places, and it's an honor to be here. And we don't take this lightly, being with you, because we know many of these men of God as well in this room, those who are connected to you. I'm going to cut right to the chase. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We all know these verses. Never ministered this message before because God gave it to me on Tuesday night as we were worshiping God over there on the front row. And I did not know. He gave me two words. I did not know exactly. And then he added more when I began to pray it out. And he just said, be ready. I didn't know what for. I'm always pretty on ready. As many of you are, you stay on ready. When you sense the urgency of the day, you stay on ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. My number two grandson's a Marine stationed here at Pendleton. And he told me this story a couple of years ago, happened to him. They were on, and Dr. Barkley knows the base extremely well. They were on bivouac, meaning they were, for 2 weeks, they were up in the mountains. Contrary to what a lot of people say and write songs about, it does rain in Southern California. And so They're dug in on the mountainside, and all that water's cascading. On that mountain into their foxholes. And they're out there, and they're operating under live fire. And they've already been trained. This is part of their training, but they've already been trained and drilled over and over and over, and it's, of course, at night. They've got their infrared units on, their headgears on, and they're to charge the hill because that's where the machine gun is. That's where the armory is. That's where the main ordnance is going to rain down from them is. And so there are two men per hole. They're commanded by their sergeant, by their lieutenants to move. Each hole has a number. And they're to move. And while one leaves the foxhole, the other one lays down cover fire. You've seen enough movies, you know what I'm talking about. Well, they're about 3 a.m., and the opposition stopped firing. They're not firing at them. They're firing over them. But they stopped firing, and so in a foxhole two places away is about 50 yards from my grandson. This one particular Marine decided he's just going to, you know, kick back. Hey, it's settled down. No big deal. So he loosens the laces on his boots. And just within a matter of moments after he dozed off, and his buddy let him doze off, just in a matter of moments, the fire begins again. And the command comes, Fox 2, move. And he gets up to move. And his boots are stuck in the mud hole. And so he comes out with a bare foot, and he's going up this mountain. And basically, California is a desert. And so on those mountains and on those hills, there's cacti, there's rocks, there's all kinds of foreign bodies that are not designed for bare feet. And he stepped on a rock that he did not see. His ankle immediately turned, compound fractured. That means the leg bones are sticking right out of the side of his ankle. And not only was he not ready for that, he was not following the proper protocol with his weapon. He had his finger on the trigger. And he shot himself through the good knee. Three times.
Wow.
So instead of having his finger out like this, he has his finger on the trigger because he's falling. And he could have killed any number of his own soldiers. He shot himself. And of course, the drill is over because now they have to medevac him with a helicopter off the mountain, which was a practice and a drill that they weren't looking for. The Marines are, you know, in the military, they're well developed in all kinds of scenarios to be prepared, but they're only as good as each individual is prepared.
That's right. Yes.
And that's why we as ministers have a job. And that's also why we have job security. Because we have many people that do not operate on a level of any kind of readiness, and they just take whatever comes to them. Well, that's a bad way to live. That's a bad way to live. So I asked a minister one time, why don't you talk about end times anymore? Why don't you discuss this? Because you have a great knowledge of it. You have a great ability to communicate it in a way it's understandable. And this is what he said. Pastor's a very large church. He said, well, it can be scary. And it can scare the people. And so I just decided to back off because we end times scare the people. And I said, wait a minute. And I'm able to do that with this relationship. This is not written to scare us. It's written to prepare us, to make us ready. You know, I like to know what I'm getting into. I have a nephew by a stepsister that started out in customs. He worked at Houston-Bush Airport, the main airport, and then was recruited to the DEA, and then eventually recruited to the Secret Service. That's a whole different story, but I do want to tell you that the rumors of the White House are true. But anyway, particularly under the Clintons and the Obamas. But anyway, if I told you any more, I'd have to have Dr. Barkley kill you. But anyway, so I asked the nephew, I said, because he was a college football player like me. I mean, they loved him in the DEA because they didn't have to take a battering ram to knock down doors. He's 6'3", 300 pounds, played college football as a lineman. He was an attack guard. And so they used him to just bust down doors, jump through windows, whatever, you know, pull car doors off. This is a big dude. This is a strong, you know, he benched 500-600 pounds, those kinds of things. And I asked him, his name is Chad. I said, Chad, man, you're into a dangerous situation where, I'm just assuming this, I know nothing about the DA at this point, where you never know what you're getting into. He said, oh no, we know exactly what we're getting into. We've reconned, we've videoed, we have tracking devices, we have speakers, we have all kinds of cameras, we know exactly what we're getting into. This is what he said. He said, the worst job on the planet is the local PD or local sheriff.
Wow. They have no idea.
They have no idea. Or highway patrol, they have no idea what they're walking up on. That's why we need to pray for them. That's why we need to stand with them. Amen? Now most of them are ready. They're not Barney Fifes. Most of them are ready. You know, one bullet Barney. I mean, Andy couldn't trust him with any more than one bullet because he was rarely ready. Anyway, all right, no extra charge for that. But I loved what he said. He said, oh, we know exactly what we're getting into. When he said that, I heard in my spirit, that should be the church. We're created in his image and after his likeness. We have compatible communication hardware. It's called a spirit. That's hardware. Come on. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they shall not follow. That's the problem. C.S. Lewis, I just read this recently. C.S. Lewis, the great British author, wrote many allegories and novels and different things. A strong believer. He made this statement, you know, decades ago, but I just read it recently. I was not aware he made it. But he said, the biggest problem that we have in Christendom is that many Christians don't realize that most of the voices in their lives are operable to get them off track.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've said for years, with the wrong voices lead to wrong choices every time. So that's why we need to listen to the voice of God. He enables us to hear him. We have compatible hardware to hear him, and he hears us. Come on. Paul said it. He said, Timothy said it as well. He said, when you pray according to the word, we know that he hears us and we have the petitions we deserve. We know it. Much of the church has no clue about that, unfortunately. Have you found 2 Timothy yet? Most of us can by heart. Verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I want you to see something there. In the Amplified, it talks about the times of peril are here to stay. They're not going away. There's no place in your New Testament until you get to Revelation. There's no place that says you're going to live on a planet with no trouble. Trouble comes. But there are hundreds of verses in the Old and New Testament that tell us he will always deliver us from trouble.
Amen.
He leads us and he guides us, and it's important that we understand that. Now, you know, most of you know these things by heart, but there's the problem. Every year for the last 40 years, I've predicted every Super Bowl winner. Accurately, 100%. It's not the team with the nicest uniform, biggest stadiums, most prolific passing quarterback, has more touchdowns than anybody else. It's not those teams. It's the teams that block and tackle the best. The fundamentals. That's why, think about it, the Patriots, then the Steelers, and those kinds of teams, they're not spotless records. But they know how to win in the winter. And they practice the fundamentals. And they win ugly. They win ugly. Because it's the big uglies that win the game. Don't look around. But it's the big uglies that win the game. Now think about that now. It's not the glamorous. It's not the team with the prettiest cheerleaders. It's the team that blocks and tackles the best. And they practice the fundamentals. Think about this for a moment. They start out on OTAs, which are team organized activities. OTA, organized team activities. They start out in May. Now, before that, it's up to them individually to work out. They don't put pads on. They don't put helmets on. But they go. I've been to several practice facilities. I still have some friends that I played with that are coaching in the league, et cetera, et cetera. And they still work out as individuals, and then they'll gather together and have team workouts. They'll lift weights. They'll run sprints. They'll throw the ball around. But there can't be any team stuff. But in May, they have a week or 2 weeks. They change it up of organized team activities. And then in July, they all go to training camp. And during that time, in an organized team, they don't have the pads on. They can have helmets on, but no shoulder pads. Now, they got full pads on, and they only have a limited amount that they can do that. But think about this. We're about to get to the Super Bowl next week, second week of February, right? And they've been blocking and tackling since July.
Come on.
Every day. That's what they're doing right now in their home field. And then when they get to Arizona, where the Super Bowl is this year, they're still going to block in time. If they don't, they won't win. Why? Because you can't just flip a switch. And there's where a lot of Christians, including preachers, as Doc was addressing, we think we can just live however we want to live, and then we can flip that switch. And I can say this because I was Spirit-filled in a Pentecostal church. That's a danger of many of the Pentecostals. They just flip a switch and they want to go back to that same song that they felt God on. And they sang it 14 times. Come on. Amen. Better get back over here to this verse. So. Verses 2 through 5 address the perilous issues, the perilous traits. I call them the 20 perilous traits that lead to destruction. But look at verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness. Now, who's this written to? The world? This is written to the church. This is talking about Christians. People that go to church are people that call themselves Christians. They, you know, this is a whole different terminology now, but they identify as a Christian. But yet they don't go to church. You know why? Doc hit it on it last night. Because of the hypocrites in the church. And actually the number one reason people don't come to church, because they know people in the church that don't live out what they're supposed to be living out. And they're looking for reality. That's why young people don't come to church. Because they've lived in a fraudulent Christian home for their whole lives, and they see how people try to fake it till they make it.
Come on, come on.
So you have these people that say, well, I'm not going to church because of hypocrites. So, you know what that's like saying? I'm not going to go to the gym because there's fat, out-of-shape people there.
Come on.
Are there fat, out-of-shape people at the gym? Yeah, there's sections for them. And you know what? They don't need to go to the other section. Don't go to the free weights. You'll die. You'll maim yourself. No, just stay over there, Junior. Now, we got to start somewhere. But see, there's the issue with the church. There are all kinds of levels, and we need to welcome them all. Just like 24-hour fitness, I drove by there last night on the way out. The parking lot was full. Are you kidding me? At 10 o'clock at night, the parking lot's packed. And I didn't drive, you know, I just driving by on the freeway, and I saw this. Wow. I wondered, wow, that's near a mall. And Oceanside, you know, on the way back to the hotel, that's near a mall. And, you know, there used to be a big mall store there. Now it's a 24-hour fitness. But I'm thinking, wow, what's going on at the mall at 10 p.m.? Oh, it's 24-hour fitness. Do you think perhaps that there were some out-of-shape, overweight people there last night? Sure there were. There's enough for all. Same thing in the church. There's enough for all of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen. We don't drive away. We don't just take the champions. We build champions. We build champions. So notice what he says, though. He said there will be a people that have a form of godliness, but they deny or resist its influence, deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. In other words, it doesn't mean we're to turn them away. We're to stop hanging out with them all the time. Why? Wrong voices. Wrong voices. I better go on. Look at verse 6. For of this sort are they, talking about the form of godliness, Christians. Oh, yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Oh, I love Jesus. How about you? Oh, I just love Jesus. For of that sort, they lead captive silly women. Come on. With sins. They lead them away with divers lust, temptations. Come on. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they come to church, they read their Bible, they pray and they confess the word, but there's no fruit. We're living in that day. We've been living in that day. But it's worse today than ever. we have to understand what day and what hour we're living in. And he goes on and says, just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now, who were they? They were Pharaoh's sorcerers and magicians and astrologers, right? So do these also resist the truth. Notice the digression. Number one, they resist the truth. Number two, they become men or women of corrupt minds. What, isn't that a natural process? When you resist the truth, your mind is going to be corrupt. That's what's happening. That's why, like Doug said last night, that's why it seems like everything is just so much worse and there's more devils. No, devils are not reproducing themselves.
Right.
It's the same demons. And you know what? They don't have any new tricks. It's the same temptation such as common to men as Jesus faced. They don't have any new tricks. So when they resist the truth, when you resist the truth, when I resist the truth, corruption comes. It's immediate. It's not a long process. It's immediate. So when we resist the truth, we become men of corrupt minds. And then if you continue in that corruption, you become reprobate concerning the faith. That's exactly where we are today. We have people. Doc and I have been in meetings together, speaking at the same conferences, different things. And some of those host pastors are no longer, not only not in the ministry, they're not even serving God anymore. Because they got off over here on a tangent, and they followed and they chased this because they want to measure up to the culture. They want to make their church more culturally relevant. Like, what, the Holy Spirit didn't get the memo on relevance in the last days? He doesn't know how to be relevant. He's more relevant today than ever. The word is more relevant today than ever. Oh, we have to be acceptable. We have to reduce our time because people are busy. That's a whole seminar right there. I'm not going to go there. People are busy. But watch what happens to this digression of verse 9. They shall proceed no further. In other words, they will not last. When you resist the truth, there's the number one step. When you have that form of godliness, you resist the truth. And then you get corrupted. And then you become reprobate. You won't last. And their folly shall be made manifest unto all men or on the internet. In the last 5 years, do you know how many notable world-renowned ministry leaders have fallen? Well, it's not a surprise to those of us who have been around and traveled because we've seen the crew. There's one particular man, his wife, and I'm not going to allude to the name, his wife, threatened to divorce him 3 times if he didn't go to alcohol rehab because he is a drunk, a famous drunk. And I could go on and on and on and on and on about that, but that's not my point, except we're seeing those things. We're talking about somebody who had the world by the tail, so to speak,
right,
who was creating and performing and doing great things for the kingdom for decades, but yet thought they could just kind of chill out and reap the rewards of your seed. Well, those weren't the seeds you've been sowing. You've been sowing into the kingdom. Okay, I'll go on. That's where we're at today. Now, jump down to verse 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, so, you know, I kind of read this reverse sometimes. If you have persecution, what does that mean? You're living godly. Nobody persecutes the sinner. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what Doc talked about last night. But what did he say to young Timothy? Paul, the apostle, the spiritual father of this pastor. Continue in what you've learned and what you've been assured of. Knowing. See, many times we read over these verses and we just take everything for granted. I don't take everything for granted. I need to know this. Knowing of whom you've learned, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. And I'm going to skip through some of them. But they're able to make, what are the Holy Scriptures for? Because they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Not through faith which is in the culture, not through faith which is in religiosity, not through faith which is in your best preacher friend, but your faith in Jesus Christ. Think about this. Many of us, as senior ministers, we've witnessed the scandals. We've witnessed the Baker and Swagger thing. We witnessed what it did to the church. You know, my wife says this all the time, if you're going to live in sin as a preacher, if that's your choice, tear it up. But get out of the ministry. Go sell insurance.
Or cars.
Why? Because if you have a personal scandal in the insurance industry, it doesn't affect the whole rest of the insurance industry.
Right.
When you have a scandal in the ministry, it affects all of us preachers. So stop it. I'm not trying to kick anybody out. But I know exactly what Pastor Harbaugh was mentioning. What Pastor Gatlin was mentioning the last two mornings. I've been in those prophet's quarters. I've been in those living rooms where they're watching things that I would never watch. I've been in their cars where they would get out of the car and look at themselves in the car reflection windows and the windows of the restaurant and check themselves out. But I've also been where the Lord would say, run from them. Run from them.
Amen.
From such turn away. And they had great ministries, buildings, and they all fall down. Why? Because what Jesus said, if you build your house on the sand, when the winds blow and the waves beat, great will be the fall. These are fundamentals. These are the basics. They're not sexy. They're not glamorous. They're not even public. Doc didn't know what I was talking about. I was going to talk about today. I didn't know what he was going to share today. But this is what he's dealing with. I encourage you to read chapter 4 again, particularly as ministers. This is a charge. This is not a suggestion. Paul leads this charge for all ministers. This is how we should live. And you know what? Most of these charges, 1 Timothy talks about it as well, most of these charges are not even spiritual qualifications. They're all dealing with character, honor, integrity. There's nothing that says be the best prayer you know. There's nothing in the Word that says that. Be the best reader of the Word. Be the best tither. There's nothing in the Word that says that. We're supposed to do all those things, yes, but that's not the key. The key is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Not just your Savior, but your Lord. Because Lordship will change everything. It will change your marriage. It will change your family. It will change your finances. It will change your relationships. Lordship will change everything. It will change your wisdom quotient. Come on, somebody. We're not going to take the time to read all that because time is short. But when the Lord gave me this statement Tuesday night, he said, recalibration station. And I said, what do you mean? Because I know what recalibration stations are. What do you mean? He said, the church should be a recalibration, not a rehab, but a recalibration station. Rehab is different. We need to recalibrate. We need to renew our minds. We need to come and hear the word. We need to be submitted under leadership. We need spiritual leadership in our lives, spiritual accountability in our lives. But he took me to a memory of mine. My brother and I were not raised in a godly home, godly environment at all. I went to 9 schools in 12 years. My dad is a professional rodeo cowboy. He was a rodeo champion. He's in the Hall of Fames all over America. Texas Rodeo Cowboy Hall of Fame, National Cowboy Hall of Fame, Pro Rodeo Cowboy Hall of Fame. I visited all 3 in one summer, not on purpose, but because I was preaching in those cities. And I've been in all these places, and I still identify with rodeo. That's not my identity, but I still have identified with it. I was never a cowboy, but if you saw my early pictures as a boy, my brother and I had pictures taken with Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and Festus, and you know, all kinds of people, Buck Taylor, and all these guys, all these cowboys, and we grew up, you know, in that environment, so we can identify. You know, Gospel Bill was that's very organic. I mean, that's not a stretch. In fact, you know, if you know Gospel Bill, his real name on the show was Sheriff Bill Gunter, William Gunter. Well, we had the first sheriff of Wheeler County, Texas, was our great-great-grandfather on our dad's side, and his name was William Gunter. So we identify with all those things, and we know those things well. We know that Western history, all those kinds of things. But just because my dad was a rodeo champion back when you had to ride 8 seconds to get paid and you had to score high to get paid, you didn't have logos on your collars and on your hat and your you know, your vest and your chaps, and like they do today, they get ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. They don't even have to ride, and then they go out back to the stock show and they sign autographs and all kinds of stuff, and they get paid for that. And there was none of that. You had to be good to get in the Hall of Fame. And so that's how we were raised until our brother's 4 years older. So he lived in this longer than I did, until my dad started gambling away all of his earnings and not sending any money home. During the school year, we would be at home. I wasn't in school yet, but my brother was. And so our mom was very troubled, backslidden Pentecostal, tongue talker. I've said this to many congregations, but we all have crazy people in our families. I have just as many flakes in my orchard as you do. But, and I'm not critical of them. I'm just saying I know what that's like. And what I want you to see is I was asked on Daystar one time in an interview because they knew some of our history. How did you guys turn out like you did? And this is what the Lord told me. He said, everybody has trouble in their life. And when you get in trouble, the most important aspect of your life is your floor or your base. And if our base is not this, It's over. Your cool will wear out really fast. Your stubbornness won't last you very long. Don't look around. Don't look around. You better have this. And my parents, my dad was a Marine in Korea. My dad's a successful cowboy. My dad was a successful businessman, earned and won millions of dollars before he died, and he died broke. Our mom was beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous. My dad wired money to her to fly out of Fort Worth Meacham Field on an American Airlines tail dragger DC-3 to LaGuardia Airport. She landed, he picked her up in a cab. He already had a bunch of rodeo friends. They were there at the Madison Square Garden Rodeo. My dad was earning, my mom still has the check stubs, up to $1,900 a day in 1949. That's pretty good dough today.
Yeah.
But in 49, they complained. All the pro sports, when they win the tournament, they win the big contract, they win the NASCAR race, they take all their buddies out for drinks and dinner. My parents were flabbergasted that they took 15 of their friends out and it cost $100. Total. Today you can't eat a hamburger and park in New York for $100. They were married at Times Square Chapel. He gathered all those friends. They were married at Times Square Chapel. I still have the picture of my mom in her nice, beautiful business suit and her pillbox hat with heels and stockings about to get on that airplane on the tarmac. She was gorgeous. And because when cowboys came to the Big Apple, it was a big deal. And there was a TV show called Who Do You Trust? And they were trying out this new young whippersnapper host, young guy from Lincoln, Nebraska named Johnny Carson. My parents were on the original Tonight Show. They don't put ugly people on the Tonight Show. Unless they're vulgar or funny now, you know. What happened? What happened? How does this work? How do you go from that to us living in the projects with no car, no phone, no TV, no nothing in North Fort Worth? How do you go from that to this? With dad not paying a dime of child support, how does that work? I'll tell you how it works. You're not building your house on the rock. We have to build our ministries on the rock. We can't get just full of ourselves and have this mentality. Well, you know, I'll rely on last year's message. We need fresh manna. I've got to wind this down, but this is what I want you to focus on. Our dad didn't pay child support. Our mom turned to the bottle, the Coors bottle. I still hold it against them. And the pill bottle. She was a pill popper. I woke up one night. My brother was shaking me. He said, John, crawl out the window. Go down the street to so-and-so's house, use their phone, and call the ambulance. Back then, you know, you tapped on the phone, you got the operator. I said, what's going on? And this is what he had me do. He woke up when our mom came to our door, and outside our door, our mom said, I wonder what my boys are going to do when they wake up and find me dead. And she went into the bathroom. She locked the door. She drew bath water. She slit her wrist. We tried to get the door open. He tried to get the door open. The guy's a bulldog. I mean, he's, you know, even though we were boys, he's still a bulldog. He's so strong. Just 5 years ago, he bench pressed 550 at 65. So he had me crawl out the window, and I got up on his shoulders, and I crawled through the little tiny window. He was too big, the tiny bathroom window. We had to break it, and I crawled through it and unlocked the door, and I had to drag my mom, help him drag her out of the tub and hold onto her wrist with washcloths to try to stop the bleeding. We missed Christmas that year as well as many others. See, my brother and I shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be in the ministry. We shouldn't have what we have. Our children should have grown up in poverty just like all of our other friends, just like many in our family. Generation after generation. Why? Because it's a spirit. Poverty is a spirit. Suicide is a spirit. Alcoholism is a spirit. Everything is first and foremost in the spirit. This is what I want you to see. Everything that we've heard this week is a recalibration station. And I'll close with this. I worked in the oil field in West Texas where they get the West Texas Intermediate crude, which is the benchmark, the best oil in the world. All this Venezuela and all this other stuff is dirty. We have the cleanest oil in the world. Drill, baby, drill. Don't drill in China. Don't drill in Venezuela. Drill here. We have the cleanest. We have the best. Provides millions of jobs. I'm John George, and I approve this message. But I learned something there. And then later in Houston, where I did construction, after I went to school there and I needed a job, I did construction, poured concrete and built stuff in these massive football field size buildings, even bigger than football field size. Hundreds of yards of concrete and buildings and all kinds of stuff in these chemical plants. Well, they use that petroleum to make so many things, polyester and plastics and everything. But those are very dangerous places to work. And they have alarms. And you go through orientation off-site. They don't even let you through the gate until you have a badge and you're tagged safe. You've gone through orientation. Why? Because it's a dangerous place. And there are different levels of tones, and different places have different protocols, but there are different tones that there are whistles, and there are chimes, and bells, and then there are horns, and then there are constant horns. They all mean a different level. Not of security,
yeah.
Of danger. And you have to follow those protocols, and you have to go through it, and you're drilled over and over and over. It's very militaristic. And it happened many times. And every one of these properties has a windsock outside, and there's no airport. It's to tell you what wind direction it is, because you have to go upwind when these alarms go off. This is what I want to get to. Every week, those instruments had to be recalibrated. Because they're influenced over and over and over with all kinds of gases, all kinds of pressures, all kinds of situations. And they're stretched and they're stressed and they're move up and down and back and forth. They have to be recalibrated. And specialists come in. Authorized specialists come in to recalibrate those. And their tool, those are analysts, and their tools to recalibrate don't come from our site. They come from somewhere else that's a pristine condition that's actually in a vacuum environment where they know the air is 100% clean or the pressure is accurate, et cetera, et cetera. And those specialists come on, usually it's during the weekends, and they get paid way more money than we did to recalibrate every alarm on that campus, on that site. That's what the church is for. That's why people need the church, and we need each other. Think about that. So everything that's been shared this week, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, every session about honor, integrity, character, about praise and worship, about leadership, submission to authority, building a holy marriage and family, guarding yourself with your what entertainment choices you make, on and on, everything we've heard. Oh, and the story of Philip going to the desert. Just a coincidental occurrence that a single Ethiopian is going by on a chariot from the queen. That means he had quality animals pulling that chariot. He didn't have some nags that were running back to the barn. He had the best. Everything we've heard applies to what I'm talking about. Let's be the church that Jesus is returning for.
Amen.
The glorious church.
Amen.
The church filled with power, victory, authority, wisdom. Where does that come from? Purity. Purity. The most valuable metals are pure. They've been fired and refired and refired, refired. The most valuable steel in the world is no longer American steel, sadly. It's Japanese because they fire it over and over and they don't make shortcuts. Too many Christians have taken too many shortcuts. Too many preachers have taken too many shortcuts. We're just going to be led of the Spirit. That's not the Spirit you need to be led of. Because I'm a fruit inspector. I'm a professional fruit inspector. Jesus told me to be. We're going to know people by their fruit. And if you have pure fruit, I used to work in a produce warehouse. If you have rotten fruit, oh, it's nasty. And it will corrupt the rest of the whole cooler. Not only that crate, it will corrupt the whole cooler. Let's be that church. Let's be that holy church.
Amen.
Let's be that on fire church. Let's be that church that's submitted and we're willing. You know, we hear all these people say, don't judge me. I say, tear it up. Judge the hound out of me. Judge the hound out of me, but just use the word. Don't use your opinion. You might get slapped. And I have a big slap. Judge me with a word. And I'll receive it. I'll receive it. I'll receive it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for such grand wisdom,
yes,
integrity, and honesty. Thank you for your servants who have taught us so well this week, who have gotten right in the middle of our gravy and stirred it up, who got right in the middle of our lives and not only identified the problem, but remedied the problem, brought solution to the problem. Thank you for this ministry. It is heralding the truth, and not just a blessing, but heralding the truth of integrity and honor in the kingdom. that we can be the best servants of God that you've ordained us to be. And Father, I know it's by your grace. It's by your empowerment. It's not our own strength. But we have to make the choices. Lord, let us make those choices this day.
Amen.
Do it right now. Lord, I pray for everyone here right now as they make choices. Pray for those listening, watching, streaming, and online that they make choices to submit, to come under your authority and let you transform them, and that they would renew their minds to the truth, the word of God, and you would reveal to them by your spirit the changes that need to be made, the choices that need to be changed, and that we would go out of here in great authority and victory, even in the midst of trouble, and we overcome it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Doc asked me to receive the offering. If you turn to Philippians, we can all quote this. Hallelujah. I believe I want to go to chapter 4.
But my God shall supply.
How many churches did he write this to?
Philippians.
So let's look at the condition as to why he wrote this to this church. I think through this now. Look at verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, in other words, my gospel ministry, when I departed from Macedonia, we could go over to 1 Corinthians 8 and read that, or 2 Corinthians 8 and read that about the Macedonians giving, right? No church. Say no church.
No church.
No church communicated. It's the Greek word koinonia, which means partnered. No church partnered with me except you concerning giving and receiving. You're the only ones. But yet everybody in the body of Christ wants to claim verse 19. You have no right to claim verse 19 if you haven't done verse 15. If you're not a partner ministry, a ministry partner, I should say, if you're not partnering, if you're not giving, if you're not sowing, the tithe belongs to the local church. Doesn't belong, it's a storehouse. Come on. Storehouse doesn't have wheels. It doesn't have wings. Belongs to the local body. Now we've got some, Doc and I, we have some close ministry friends that don't believe that. And it's sad. It's amazing. Pastors believe differently about giving than a lot of evangelists, don't they? Huh? The storehouse is from which you regularly are fed from. Storehouse. What is it? That's your barn. Barns don't have wheels. Amen. Barns don't have wings. So the tithe belongs to the storehouse. But the offerings can go where you're led. And let's just don't give to the need. Let's just don't give to a deed. Let's give by seed. That means spirit-led. Spirit-led. Let's be spirit-led. I've already given this morning, but I'll give again here. But let's absolutely be led of the Spirit what we're supposed to do. Well, I already gave. So did I. So did many in this room. But you know what? Maybe we weren't led of the Spirit before. Let's be led of the Spirit today and from now on. Amen?
Yes.
So let's ask him right now, Father, what are we to do in this offering? What am I to do? I know I'm not supposed to just give my chump change. I know I'm not just supposed to give my my normal gift. I'm supposed to be led of your spirit. Lord, and I want to partner with this gospel ministry. So I'll be able to claim, verse 19, so all my needs will be met. And I thank you, Lord, that you've shown many of us these truths long ago, and we've operated in them, and we're no longer in debt. We're no longer in oppression financially. We're no longer under the weight. But Lord, we're free. We're free to give unto every good work, and this is a good work. In Jesus' name, amen. Number of ways to give, look on the screen. If you need an offering envelope, these ushers will serve you. Fill it out completely. Make sure all that your information is there so you can get appropriate response at the end of the year. Isn't it amazing it's already the first week of February?
Come on.
Lift your hand, keep it up until you get served. You can give online, you can give by text. You can give at the table if you can run your card. You can fill out your credit card or debit card information right there on the envelope. Hallelujah. It's an honor to participate. It's an honor to participate with a ministry like this, the partnership. The ministry. Not going to lie, not going to cheat, not going to rip anybody off, not going to send you a letter, we're going under if you don't help us. Amen. Not going to beg, borrow, cheat, steal. Amen. That's refreshing. It's refreshing because we know the other way is coming. Hallelujah. It takes a little time to write out 12 digits of your credit card. But I want to encourage you to do this. Become a regular partner as well as you bring your gifts this morning. Speak something over your gift. Always do. Always do. Decree, declare something. Amen. And many times this is what we do. We get caught up. We've taught our people better sometimes, but we get caught up. We go to God with need instead of thanksgiving. He said, enter into his gates with what? Into his courts with? In other words, not needs. Needs are not even listed there in Psalm 100. But most of the time people just do that with needs. Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let's just thank him all the way down in the front. Hallelujah. You can stand to your feet. And whenever you're ready, just come down and speak something over your gift. Come on, just go ahead and thank him right now. Keep thanking him. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Was that an immaculate message or what? Give John a good hand clap. Come on. All right. 6:15 tonight. Be here for prayer. Deal with yourself. See you then. Be blessed. Have a great day. Hallelujah. Amen.
Another great message from the Holy Spirit Conference, and I've not heard this pastor speak before. Whoops, hold on. But wow, he did an amazing job. Good morning, everyone. all of a sudden I just saw myself right there. So, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where Pastor went. I still see him on here. I know he wanted to do communion. So let's go ahead. So let's go ahead and we'll everyone get your communion elements together and we'll read the verses of scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 are our verses of scripture for communion. And you can go get your bread or cracker and grape juice, or if you don't have those on hand, you can use something else just to stand in for this. For this time, we do bless and sanctify our elements before before we do this. Hold on for just a second. I've got to. Go to a different screen here. Oops, I guess I can move my speaker now too. I hope you all got an amazing revelation from that message. It really was great. I love the statement that he made. Oh my goodness, it was right at the very end. And it was about the giving. Isn't that funny? I all of a sudden don't even remember what it was. So anyways, let's go ahead and read the scripture. Again, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death or his redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And by examining ourselves, that means realizing that we were sinners and we need a Savior. And his name is Jesus. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. If we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And we thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to judge ourselves. And now for anyone that is with us that has not yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to make sure you're right with God before you partake of communion with us. And so we are going to say the prayer of salvation. Just please say it with us and mean this from the depth of your heart. This will change your entire life. Receiving Jesus into your heart is what changes your life and will get you into heaven. So say this prayer with me. Father God, I know I need you in my life every day. I believe Jesus is the Son of God and came into this world and sacrificed himself so that I might be saved. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and ask you, come into my heart now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Live in me and through me. Now I believe. I am saved, born again, and a child of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or all of us that have just prayed it 1,000 times as a rededication to God, what a wonderful thing it is. But if you've prayed this for the first time just now, we believe you are saved and born again, just as we just prayed. And we're so happy, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. If you have any questions about what that means for your life now, what to do next, if you have questions about how to live your new life as a Christian, please contact us. Our website is just Samuel J. Cottle, and it is the Community of Faith website. All of our information is on there. Don't hesitate to email Pastor. His email address is HG as in Holy Ghost preacherman@gmail.com, and he will be glad to answer any questions you have. If you have testimonies you want to tell him, if you need direction, please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. So now we're going to bless and sanctify these, our elements, if you hold them up and repeat after me. Father, we thank you for these communion elements, and we bless them and sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Lord. You hold up your bread and repeat this prayer after me. All of these statements that we make right here are out of the Bible. They are communion verses from the Bible, acknowledging what these elements stand for. So here we go. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community and right here in this community of faith, we receive this bread, Jesus, your body broken, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. We thank you, Jesus. And now let's lift up the juice, cup of blessing, and repeat this after me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things are made new. by the blood of Jesus, plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By the blood of Jesus, I have bold access to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me, Jesus. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's receive the juice together. Thank you all for being with us. Appreciate you being with us. And like I said, I pray that you got as much from this message this morning and from the Holy Spirit conference as we did. It was an amazing, amazing week. And you can go back and watch any of these sessions. There was morning and evening sessions all week long. They were really great. There is no service tonight, but we will be back tomorrow morning for Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, which is our prayer and declaration program that we have every morning, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Standard. And we hope you can join us. It's a great time. And until then, have a God-blessed day. Go out and change your world. Keep in touch with the Father. Every time you think about it, say, Father, I love you. I need you. And speak Jesus everywhere you go. Thank you again for being with us. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.
Playing as an auto randomizer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that do? Just like changes all the equipment?
Yes, but even more so because we're playing it like with three people. Mm-hmm. So it's between different logos too. So like,
so that was your husband's Charles online
can have my Megaton
server. Yeah.
Oh. Whale the Koku sword used to be.
Yeah.
It starts at noon. I was like, oh my goodness.
And yeah, we've been doing that for a while. Like different modes.
Yeah, he's actually in his semi truck in North Dakota. So I connect the service from here, and then he can just join in. But today we actually, have you heard of Mark Barkley?
No.
He was doing a Holy Spirit conference in San Diego, so we streamed them for today's program.
Oh, okay.
It's a bunch of technical connecting.
Skyward Sword.
Okay. Well, that's nice that you're able to do it from here. Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think
it's wonderful. It makes it possible to be able to come back and say what I need to. Yeah. Did you get more cards?
Like the old ones.
Rob, these are from Dorothy. Girl's mother.
Yeah, my mom passed away, but she had some cards left over.
So Rob, this is
nice.
Her leftover cards. That's why I can always use them.
But
yeah.
It's hard to play
it on the DS. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I can imagine. You should leave.
I played some Minstrel on Game Boy a little bit.
Lee, Rod set these magazines
like
for
one.
You.
Yeah,
I had it on. And I
okay, good.
So I spent many hours trying to get all the minis, like those figurines.
Yeah.
Just look.
Yeah, you guys don't get History Channel on your TV, do you?
I don't like the house.
Yeah, I don't know what you might do with that. That's just been almost a whole other loaf.
You just get like a golden loaf.
We were in
that little
one.
Like,
we were
going
to be here. It was like, well,
yeah.
We can always freeze it later.
You get, like,
or you guys can take
like
some
home
if you want to.
Like, that would be worth it.
Yeah.
Like an upgraded master
board. No, she doesn't like
this. Like King's Road or
something. Actual Ebola.
You
might
be the
one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you've just been going around.
Well, yeah.
You still leave him in the truck at work?
Yeah, actually, last week was the first time I just left him at the pole barn for like 2 or 3 days because it was really cold out there. And I don't know, it's just easier, you know, it's a, you know, you have to warm the car up so many times and stuff, but I'm scared of him eating stuff at the pole barn because I don't want him to eat something and hurt himself, but he seemed to do fine. He's still alive.
You know, you could always put him in a cage.
Yeah. I don't know. I know if I have to, I would, but...
Well, that was funny. I was just thinking, oh, we've got a cage in the garage you can use, but it's 1,200 miles away. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
The pole barn's so big.
Mm-hmm. Well, just you never know what's going to be on the ground.
Yeah.
Because they can eat, like, you know, if they eat a rubber toy, it might they might have to have surgery and stuff.
In a pole barn, you got to be careful. Yeah. Well, like rat poisoning or anything.
Yeah.
Like antifreeze.
Probably put a lot of spice in there for you.
Oh, yeah. We have a few cages at home, but they're so big, you could probably crawl through the bars.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a cat cage and a big cage, but I don't really put him in that much. He likes eating hay. I don't know if that's good for him, but he eats it. It's, like, his favorite food.
Yeah, if you're home by 5 o'clock or so, that
would hurt his high-fiber diet.
Oh.
He does this when he sees deer outside, too.
He wants to go get the big deer.
They stand up and they're
get them by the neck.
Yeah. Just three of the guys.
Get them by the
neck. A lot of them, it gets to be like their own bedroom. Or
yeah, when I first saw him, my first thing was like, oh my God, he looks like a Ewok. And his name was Chewy. I didn't like my girlfriend at the time, like, she already had a dog named Chewy. So, and like, I didn't really love the name Chewy. But so I named his little dog. To like, kind of give him a little homage to his original name. But,
oh, no.
I can't have a cat.
Oh, no. Now I have to wait all this.
I can't move. Oh,
at our house. Eli and Eleanor's.
Oh.
Eleanor's was back in November, but they never it never worked out to have a party, and Eli's was January 31st. So they're going to celebrate both their birthdays.
That was neat. I sent her. I sent him a card.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Sorry.
I was supposed
nice to see you, Maggie. I was praying for you.
Austin and Joel.
Yeah.
I look just like him.
Yeah, that's
all three of them.
Isn't that funny?
I'm glad I come too.
It was such a good look. I'd like need to have that in a few times.
See ya.
And then you want me to take this out?
Why did you set that out in the garage?
Do you want it out in the garage, Dad, or in here? I know he uses it in the table a lot.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you can fold it right up and hide it away.
You got the book.
Yep, right in here.
Oh,
yes,
nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Drive safe.
Bye, Liam. Be careful driving, Daniel.
Okay. I think you guys should get out.
Yes,
just
do.
Drive around, but if you need to move around.
All right. I'm glad you could come over while they were here.
Yeah, that was nice.
You can get to see them. They look forward to seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
Did they call you and say they were going to be here?
No.
They just happened to show up? Well, how cool is that?
Well, she told me when she was at church
for
a little bit. So I figured I'd stop by, but...
They just called last night or yesterday, so we didn't have a lot of warning.
Yeah. Well, that was nice. I was about to get going soon, but I didn't want to go and leave them, you know, so it's kind of nice that they left a little early, but... Man, they must have had... What are they doing? Just stopping here on the way to somewhere?
They have a birthday party at home for Eli and Eleanor, Charles' two little ones.
Uh-huh.
Eli, I think, is turning 3, maybe.
Yeah.
And Eleanor just turned 1.
Mm-hmm. You know, they just wanted to come
and
up
who
before
are they?
They,
who are Eli and Eleanor?
Go to Texas. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dallas is the same age as Josiah.
Yeah.
And then Alicia is the same age as Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember their birthdays because these two guys are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have a birthday for a while yet.
Nope.
Nice weather.
Mm-hmm.
When's Randy's party?
I'm not sure. It's got to be near his birthday.
The 18th or it was on here, I think.
Well, you know it's a secret, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to...
I think she had it on the thing, though.
She's going to take Randy up to, like, the
theater
in town.
They're supposed to be coming
here.
She's
going to take Randy.
Uh-huh.
And they're... you know, going to watch a movie or something, and then it's going to actually be, like, a lot of home videos and stuff, and, like, he's not even going to know until, like, it starts playing, and then he's, like, at, like, halfway through or something, he's going to say, like, turn around, and, like, we're going to have all our family in the theater, like, he won't even realize that.
Oh, how cool is that?
And they said they've never done it before, and they're like, that's a really good idea, and, like, we might have to, like, you know, advertise that they can do that now.
Yeah, that is really cool. And when is that?
I'm not sure. It's got to be, like, probably not this next Friday, but the Friday after that or something, maybe
yeah.
A Saturday, but...
Wow, what a cool idea.
His birthday's
I
only
love
like
it.
2 weeks, so it's got to be soon. Yeah, it would be really cool.
Wow, she's so good at thinking of things like that.
Mm-hmm. He's still got to drop, like, 15 pounds because he's trying to be under 200 by his birthday. But he's been trying to lose weight for a while.
Yeah, I forgot.
Realizing how hard
it
is.
Mm-hmm. Have them remind you and you remind me when his party is.
Okay, when I remember.
I think it's on Sunday, but I don't know if it's next Sunday or the Sunday after.
Well,
and they're going to come to the house because he's going to come and visit me. Just think he's visiting me.
Oh, goody.
And then I don't know where they're going from there.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't pay attention either?
No.
You were in that wedding and you didn't even know you were in the wedding, you big dummy. Ask him when the wedding was. He didn't know. Where's that? I don't know. He's in the wedding. Jacob's wedding.
Some things are just not important to men like they are to us.
Leading him around by the ring on his nose.
I got enough trouble worrying about my own life and dates and time, let alone other people's.
Well, you got to find a good wife that's born again, spirit-filled, on fire for the God, fire God, and hand-picked by God.
And good at paperwork.
And nothing less.
Mm-hmm.
And good at paperwork.
Has a good memory.
She's there, Dara, Dallas, because I've been praying for her, and she's there.
Well, good.
All you got to do is find her. She's there waiting for you. And you don't want anybody else because, you know what? It's a big mess if you marry somebody you shouldn't have married.
Yes, it is. Changes your whole life course.
As Curran asked me. We've both been there. We don't want to go through all that. Well,
if he drops a few clues, that'll be nice.
If you got some woman like Grandpa, you, that would be a disaster. Dallas, can you help him? He's going to do that thing backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas will help you, Lee.
Do you remember him, Dallas? Does he remember Grandpa Hugh?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't like him, yes. Grandpa Hugh was mean to Dallas. And me. Right, Dallas?
Yeah.
He didn't like either one of us.
Oops. Got it.
He liked Randy.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah,
the only
one
he was good to was Randy.
Yeah, he wasn't. I just kind of kept my distance from him, you know, because it's like he never was really mean to me. Is when I'd run up the stairs, he'd holler and be like, stop running up the stairs. But I just, something happened to where I never really got close with him. But
yeah.
I don't remember him really ever being mean to me, but I just remember you kind of like, you know, you
just knew to keep your distance.
Yeah, stayed out of his way.
Well, they stayed with me for like 6 months. We had to keep avoiding him.
See, for some reason, I keep thinking Hugh was many years ago. Like, I don't realize how recent. I didn't know Dallas was even born when he was.
It's been 15 years?
No.
Because you were 6. So it's been more than 15. Alicia was in preschool, 4 and 5.
Oh, yeah. When we...
And you're only a year older than her. So
yeah.
You were about 6 or 7.
Yeah, when we stayed there. But I remember being 14 and having a cat lost in the wood pile, and he was out looking and stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, we stayed up in that upstairs. We stayed upstairs. We ate up there, too. Then he got mad one time and tipped the table over.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I guess
that
was smart back then.
We left the light on in the bathroom or something.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't remember what it was.
Shut the one part of the program down. I can hear the lady talking in there.
Oops. I just had enough money then to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Have to think of the good thing. We avoided him, but we had money enough to do things and
mm-hmm.